My name is Father Sean Tunick. I am the associate pastor at Most Pure Heart of Mary Parish in Topeka, and it is a joy to be with you on this beautiful solemnity of the Assumption today. What a beautiful feast on which to celebrate this Mass for Life in our Archdiocese. You know, if we look at the history of the declaration of the dogma of the Assumption, when Pope Pius XII proclaimed this dogma, he declared that at the end of Mary's earthly life, she was taken body and soul into heaven, and from there she shines forth still as a sign of sure and certain hope for the people of God on their pilgrim way. This idea that Mary at the end of her life was taken body and soul into heaven was certainly one that was not new in 1950 when this dogma was formally proclaimed. Indeed, the Church had always believed that Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven at the end of her earthly life. So we might ask then, why 1950 as the time to proclaim this dogma? Well, if we look at what was going on in the world then, we had just come to the end of the Second World War, and the pictures of the liberation of the concentration camps were coming out, and over the course of the years since the war had ended in 1945, we had been bombarded with these images from the concentration camps of the Holocaust, in which all too familiar were the piles of bodies found stacked, the mass graves, the crematoriums. In fact, when the Americans liberated the concentration camps, the commanders of the army, when they got there, demanded, "Take pictures, take lots and lots of pictures of what you see here, because somewhere, someday, somebody is going to try to claim that this never happened," as they beheld the piled bodies of the victims of the Holocaust. This had a great demoralizing effect upon the people at that time. All throughout the world, we were confronted with the great evil that we saw, the inhumanity of man towards man. But in the face of that, then, the Holy Father asked, would perhaps now then be a good time to solemnly proclaim the dogma of Mary's Assumption? He did that for a very important reason, because indeed the response of all the bishops throughout the world was emphatically, yes, we need this now. And the reason for that was that Mary does indeed shine as a sure and certain hope, particularly as a witness to the goodness of the body. In the face of all the piled bodies of the dead from World War II, we have the beautiful shining example of Mary and the goodness of the body, that indeed we are not just souls and not just bodies, but yet all of us are body and soul. And for us to be truly what we are, even our bodies, just the physical stuff of which we are made, it too is holy and makes up who we are. And Mary is the first fruits that even our bodies will be in heaven at the end of our earthly life as well. Just as Mary was taken body and soul into heaven, so too our bodies are destined not to be piled for no point in endless mass graves, but rather our bodies are holy and temples of the Holy Spirit and are ultimately called to be in heaven. This is why the dogma of the Assumption was proclaimed in the Marian year of 1950, and why it was so fitting then, and I think it is why it is so fitting now that we celebrate this great solemnity on this Mass for Life. Because indeed, once again, we see countless bodies of the unborn piled in trash cans and in dumpsters, and we too are inclined to look at that, and just as they did after World War II, to think that, is this all the body is worth? It can be indeed devastating and demoralizing if we think of all the dead lost in the struggle for life in abortion. Many, many more victims, of course, lost to abortion than were ever lost in the concentration camps, or indeed in all the history of the world's wars. It could indeed be a cause for us to become saddened and demoralized. And just as they did at the end of World War II, today we too need to look to Our Lady and her assumption for inspiration, for a sign of sure and certain hope on our pilgrim way through earth. We have today perhaps the most beautiful pro-life gospel we could ever hope to have. And it shows uniquely not just a great witness to the preborn life of Jesus and John the Baptist, but particularly to the unity of body and soul. For certainly as Jesus and John the Baptist are brought together, they are brought together through the bodies of their mothers. Mary, in her soul, proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and she does that with her body. Already she has traveled a great distance in her body to be near the physical body of her cousin Elizabeth. And when the bodies of John the Baptist and Jesus are brought near, their souls rejoice, and it is expressed in their bodies. For we say today that the body of John the Baptist, as his soul rejoiced, his body leaped with joy in the womb of Elizabeth. And she was able to feel the great presence of Mary in her body as John leaped for joy. We are not just souls, but rather we are body and soul united. All that we are is summed up in that joining of body and soul, and that is expressed beautifully today in this meeting between Mary and Elizabeth, and this more hidden meeting, first encounter between John and Jesus. Again, it's a beautiful pro-life witness. How could any Christian ever claim to be pro-abortion when we see right here in this gospel the beautiful witness? There could be no doubt that indeed the baby that lives in its mother's womb is very much already a union of body and soul, a living temple of the Holy Spirit. How could we ever seek to snuff out that life through abortion? Notice too just the very simple things taken for granted. When Elizabeth greets Mary, she greets her as mother. She hasn't yet given birth, but indeed Mary is already mother, for she has conceived the word of God in her womb. Indeed, how could any Christian deny the beautiful life of unborn children in their mothers? So today we gather under the patroness of Mary, the sure and certain hope for us on our pilgrim way, that she might guide us still as we seek to pray for an end to abortion, euthanasia, experimentation with the cells that kill little children. We pray for an end to all these things. And in the face of all this devastation, we too might remember that this is not the end, that indeed the body is special and sacred, and that these bodies of these little children, the bodies of the mothers who are in distress, the bodies of the doctors who use their talents for evil rather than good, our bodies which we use today as we physically go in procession to pray for an end to these crimes, our bodies express what our souls contain. And our souls too, even in the face of this evil today, must leap for joy and rejoice as we come into the presence of Jesus in this Eucharist. We too leap for joy. We look to Mary as our shining hope in this world, that one day all of us, body and soul, will gather with God forever in heaven. May we live our lives in such a way as to be worthy of this great calling in our life. Mary, our assumed into heaven body and soul mother, pray for all the victims of abortion, most especially the doctors and mothers and all who need a change of heart. May Jesus truly leap in their wombs, in the wombs that give spiritual birth to Jesus in this life, that we may see God indeed triumphant.